You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. How much does West Ham's 5-0 defeat to Liverpool hurt for fans? Is Lucas Paqueta's betting scandal affecting his performance? Will Vladimir Tsoufal extend his contract at West Ham? And what are modal verbs for speculation? And how are they used in English? Hello everyone, welcome back to the Footglish podcast. If this is your first time listening, then I should probably explain what this podcast is about. This is a podcast where we combine football and learning English. My name is Zdeněk Lukas, I'm an English teacher and I love football, and teachers teach English, so I hope it explains it. Today I'm talking to a West Ham fan, Tony, who has his own YouTube channel about West Ham and other football-related stuff. Is this correct, Tony?
It is indeed, yes. Yes.
Okay, so your channel is called Early Doors Football TV.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So basically, kind of, it's Early Doors is what they use, like we tend to use in Sunday football, amateur football. You know, try and get in early doors, get a result, get the win, get a goal. That's what it's all about.
Okay, so West Ham United is a team, as my listeners know, that I have a soft spot for. I quite like the team. I'm wearing your shirt today. Because there is a YouTube channel as well where the listeners of this podcast can watch this too. It's called Teacher Zdeněk. So my reason for liking West Ham is the Czech players. There's a connection, but it's not just the current Czech players, Tomáš Souček and Vladimír Tsoufal. It's also the former West Ham. There have been a lot of players at West Ham from the Czech Republic in the past. Do you remember any of them?
Well, the main one that stands out for me, and we saw him yesterday, and that's Ludek Maklasko. I remember when he first signed for us. Couldn't speak any English at that stage. The fans were chanting his name and asking him what the score was. And I don't think he knew, first of all. I think it was only like the second or third game in that he realised that what the chant meant. So he had put his hand up and say what the score is. And then it went on from there. But, of course, we heard the sad news that obviously with the cancer. He's battling cancer, and obviously he's not going to have any more treatment. It seems to be more detrimental to his life if he had the treatment, so he stopped it altogether just to live life as best as he can. And it's quite sad, because as we know, most people have been affected by someone with cancer. It's a very sad, sickening disease, and you wouldn't wish it upon anyone, really.
No, especially those of us who really do have some experience with it in the family. Then,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think that there are more of us than you can imagine, probably.
Yeah, so that's true.
So this is really sad news, because he is a West Ham legend, we could say. I think there's even a song about him, right?
Yes, there is. Yes, we can't say it too much on the air, but yes. I mean, the other one, I'll mention it. I'll just make sure he was. But another one, I felt very close to, and he was Thomas Repka.
Oh no. this is the most sort of bizarre thing. Yeah. The West Ham fans love him, but in the Czech Republic he divides everyone, right? Because he's such a controversial figure.
Yeah. I think I do get that side of things. I think the good thing is, for a West Ham fan's point of view, is he understood the club. He understood what it meant wearing that badge and wearing the shirt. And when he had to leave, we all had a soft spot, because, I mean, you could see the tears in his eyes, the emotion, because he didn't want to leave, but he had no choice. And players like that, it really hits the heartstrings, and it makes a West Ham person say, you know, he's one of our own. He's, you know, and I think it doesn't matter if he's Czech, he's one of our own.
And didn't he also stay through a relegation season as well? I think he did. That's a big thing. When a player who is on a good contract does that, especially a foreign player, I think that means something for the fans. And they remember.
I agree on that.
Tomáš Řepka is a guy that now has his own YouTube channel as well in the Czech Republic. Czech. And it has got some popularity, definitely more popular than my YouTube channel, that's for sure. And it's called Red Card.
How appropriate.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know if you heard, but he had also been to prison for about, was it like 1 year or 2 years?
Oh, really? No, I didn't hear that, no.
I don't know exactly what it was. Some fraud or something. I don't know, but it didn't surprise anyone in the Czech Republic that it happened to him. He once hit a cameraman as well as he was walking off the pitch after receiving a red card. He hit a cameraman.
Controversial, but in a good way.
Sparta Prague. I think Sparta Prague fans also cherish him. Mm. I think so. Yeah. Okay, but of course we are not here to talk about only Tomáš Řepka. I don't think I would approve of that. But I need to ask you. I'm sorry, Tony, but I have to talk to you about the recent game that you had against Liverpool, which was a home game. Actually, you are quite brave to come on after this thrashing home 0-5 defeat.
Well, I did a watch along for the game.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Not only did I have to watch it, but I had to speak to it as well. So I endured the whole 93 minutes of seeing us. Well, I think for me, the first 20 minutes, we kind of held our own. We looked okay in certain parts. But, I mean, when they got the first goal, kudos. Should have equalised, but hit the post.
He hit the post, yeah.
So, you know, 1-1, who knows? I don't think it would have changed the result, that's for sure. But to actually get one past Liverpool, that would have been a feat in itself. So it would have been nice to have done that. But at the moment, we're not... Even though we've won four, we've kept four... Got four wins, well, I say four wins, but with consecutive kind of results.
Right. I think you were unbeaten in four games in a row.
But it's the fact that when you know you've got Liverpool coming up, you know full well it's going to end at some point. And yeah. Liverpool are top of the league for a reason, and it was clearly shown yesterday why. Even though they didn't, they could have gone at us hardcore, as they say, but really, once they got, there was 4-0 up, they eased back, they treated it as a training session, and unfortunately, yeah. West Ham couldn't even deal with that.
Did you go to the stadium? Do you have a season ticket? Or
No. I used to have a season ticket, and... then you had Manuel Pellegrini managing the team, and that was enough for me to give my season ticket up. Plus the fact you could see the way the club was going, so I wasn't going to renew my money with them because we could see what's happening now.
If you did have a season ticket, would you have walked away from the game like some fans do?
No, I wouldn't have walked away. I think regardless of the result, you still stick it out. You know, I mean, when you look at last season with the 6-0 against Arsenal, then I think it was the 5-0 with Fulham. You don't walk away. At the end of the day, if you're a fan, you stay there till the end.
Yeah.
I was there when we got beat by Nottingham Forest at Aston Villa's ground. When we got beat by them, and the difference being was, even though we was 4-0 down, we're singing at Billy Bond's Claret Blue Army, and yeah. droned out the Forest fans. That's how passionate we were, even though we was losing. And that was the difference.
And even that song, Forever Blowing Bubbles, the Bubbles song, I think that's such a great song that you can sing when you're winning and when you're losing, because it's kind of melancholic.
It has the
lyrics which go like this: fortune's always hiding, and it has this melancholy in it. I like to listen to it, and when you are losing, I think your fans can be like a solace for them, right, to sing that song.
Very much so. Because mm-hmm. you know, he said, "Fortune's always hiding. I go everywhere. I'm forever blowing bubbles." So, regardless, win or lose, you'll go to those guys.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this defeat. I think it's about the manner of the defeat more than anything. I think if you had lost, I don't know, by 1, 2, even 3 goals, it's nothing unusual these days. Liverpool can get several goals past anyone, you know. So let alone a struggling West Ham United team, which unfortunately you are.
Yeah.
But is there a consolation in the fact that you're not the only ones? Because if you look at the table, Manchester United are below you, 1 point below you. And I don't know if you know this, but they are currently losing at home to Newcastle United 2-0 in the 55th minute.
Wow. We think we've got it bad as well. I mean, yeah, you've got to look at, you know, Manchester United. You've even got to look at, in certain respects, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
They're in the same position. But when you look at the interesting part is we talked to Amorim. It wasn't long. It was only about a 20-minute meeting.
The manager. You had some interest in him.
Mm. Yeah, apparently we was going to get Lopetegui, but and he's got if we think Lopetegui's got a hard time at West Ham, Amorim is not just climbing a mountain, he's also going over the Alps, the Grand Canyon, the whole works to get this club back to how it used to play. Man United is. I mean, we're bad enough. We're in a mess. Man United are atrocious.
You are not Man United. That's basically, if you are Man United, you can't be where you are. If you are West Ham, it can happen to you. I think you can have a year like that.
That's a fair comment.
Stay in the league, and there will be better days. That's for sure. Like, you have some great players. Maybe it's not exactly clicking right now under the new manager. Personally, I think David Moyes was great for you. I know it didn't end well. The fans kind of got him out, you know.
But yeah, I mean, to interrupt you there, I think the problem, the way I see it like this, if he knew he wasn't going to, you know, and I still say this to this day, I think it's a case of if he knew his contract wasn't going to be renewed, for me, I think David Moyes thought, you know what, okay, I'll do the job. I'll see my contract out, but I'll just do my job. I won't go above.
Okay.
I won't go below. I'll just ride it out. Do what I can.
This is what happened, you think, then?
That's what I think, because, you know, you've got Sullivan saying that, you know, he had a contract in front of him. I ripped it up, then give him a new one. He said no, and we parted ways. But I think the decision was already made that they were going to change the manager.
But Tony, even if you have a manager who has this sort of mindset, which is like kind of, what do you call it? Kind of sulking. He's kind of sulking, right? Or what's the expression? Something like that.
Yeah.
Bitter. He's bitter about it.
Bitter, yeah.
Even if you have a manager like that, then there are the players, right? And if the players are good, they should still be able to perform better than they were and than they are currently.
They should do. Again, when you look at what Lopetegui's doing, the biggest problem, I think, with Lopetegui's is we've not had a consistent team week in, week out. He's always been changing it. I mean, we refer to the Liverpool game. He put Kudos in his preferred position out on the right, and we saw a better game from Kudos.
Yeah, he was great. He was the best player.
The start of the second half, he's then out on the left. And it's a case of he was working perfectly fine on the right. Why is he selling now there?
And reinvent the wheel or something. Basically, it's a lot of chaos. That's your point.
Yeah. And this is the problem. So, unfortunately, even with the bad season we had with that last season with Moyes, we still, in certain respects, had an identity. You could understand a style of play that we had.
Mm-hmm.
With this current team at the moment, there is no identity. Mm. There is no structure. Well, we saw that in the second half yesterday, where literally the team's formation shape.
Do you think it's the manager's fault? Do you think he's not clear enough with his instructions, or he is sort of all over the place with what he wants from the players? He's changing everything all the time, so the players don't know what they are supposed to be doing. Do you think that's the problem?
I think that's the main problem. Obviously, unfortunately, being the manager, the buck stops with him, as they say.
Hmm.
He makes the decisions, he picks a team, and also expects them to go out and win a game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we all know he was the wrong choice. We know it was David Sullivan that obviously brought him in.
That's which is your owner. He's your owner.
The owner of the club. Yeah. He was the one that favoured him. He wanted him. And apparently, when they had the interview, he interviewed well. But
what does that mean?
So when so basically David asked the questions, he answered the way David was hoping to hear. And it's a case of, well, you must be the man then, because you've answered how I wanted it to be said.
That's weird. He should be answering in a way that he's a good manager, and you want to hire that guy because he shows something that you think will lift the club, or that will make the club better, right?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, that's not the case. When the pre-season started, the signs were there. This is not looking good. I mean,
yeah.
I was on a show the other day and we mentioned it. Luis Guilherme, the kid from Brazil.
Yeah.
£25 million we paid for this player.
He's like 18 year old.
18 years old.
And he's playing for the academy now, right? Or for the youth team.
No,
for the youth team.
Not even doing that. He just sits on the bench. It's literally that. He's not really featured with the academy. He's mainly sat on the bench. Yesterday was the first time we've actually seen him come on in a Premier League game.
Tony, I could do that.
I know, exactly.
Okay.
And it's a case of, as you said, he's 18. So, yes, put him in the academy. Let's let him kind of learn our way of football and so forth. Let him blend in. But the fact you've got the kids virtually every single game sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And we all sit 15 games in, and this is the first time he's actually got some time. It was only 15 minutes.
Yeah, not enough.
Not enough, but there was potential. I mean, he was unlucky. His shot hit the post. His first shot he had, it hit the post. But why have we got someone we've spent all that money on? And okay, in the grand scheme of things, it's a small amount.
Yeah.
But we've got someone sitting on the bench that's not doing nothing, whereas
not being given the opportunity. I think you could say the same about Somerville, which is
Somerville.
A player I think that West Ham fans seem to like a lot.
Absolutely.
I can see that this player is really growing on you guys.
Yeah.
And I think from what I understood watching some of the West Ham United fan YouTube channels, it seems like you're really unhappy with the fact that Lopetegui seems to be putting him on the bench all the time.
Yeah. And you can see the players getting frustrated as well. Excuse me.
No worries.
You can also see that the players getting frustrated as well. And he was Leeds' best player last season, and we are putting this kid on the bench.
Same
we
thing.
Know the potential. you know. And when he came on yesterday, within the first 5 minutes, he done more than what Paqueta and Salah did.
I need to ask you about Paqueta. Yeah. So obviously, I know in this game there were some other issues that a few players were suspended, including my countryman Tomáš Souček. But I need to ask you about this player Paqueta, because obviously he's like involved in a betting scandal, right? Mm-hmm. It's match fixing. Do you think this is the main reason he's playing so poorly this season? Do you think so?
I think it could be playing on his mind, mm-hmm. the betting scandal. But at the same point, it could be another one where he's not liking what this manager's doing. And he is just doing enough. I mean, yesterday's game, I think he fell on the floor four or five times. And it's a case of if it's a foul, then it's a clear and obvious. But when you're just falling on the ground hoping you're going to get a free kick, to me, that just says that
he's not working hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was better under Moyes, you could say, right?
He was better under Moyes. I mean, I think if you look at this season so far, he's played him, you know, he did well against Newcastle. And I think the other game, it might have been the Leicester game when he played.
Scored a penalty as well, one penalty.
Yes, he did, yeah. But he played him deeper and we saw a better Paqueta.
He's a Brazilian international, so obviously him not playing well, I think it has a huge impact, a negative impact on your team and your team's performances. Yes. Because, okay, Tomáš Souček, I think you know what you're getting from him. He's like more like a workhorse, right? You get occasional goals from him and stuff. So you kind of he's consistent in what you get from him. But Paqueta, when he's at his best game, then he can do like miracles almost.
Yeah, if he wants to, that's the problem. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I can also ask you about your captain, Jarrod Bowen. Do you think he's living up to his role, or how is he doing?
I think he's grown more into it. When he was first given the captaincy, it seemed to be the right choice because obviously he's very pro West Ham.
Yeah.
But what we saw was it become a hindrance to him.
Yeah.
And his style of football, his energy was way off what we normally see him play.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think what the turning point was is when he got his goal for England. When he played for England, he got the goal and then he came back and you could see the difference in his style. We kind of got more out of him. He's coming a bit more vocal as a captain, but mm-hmm. to me, I still say he's not the obvious choice as captain. If anything, it should have gone to Max Kilman.
Okay, well, he was a new player. You know, that's unusual to give it to a new player. So, okay, it's an interesting choice. And you also have this German international Nicolas Füllkrug, who. Remind me, please, where he came from. I can't remember. Was it Dortmund, Borussia, or?
I think it was Dortmund. I do believe, yeah. I think it was Dortmund.
Yeah. Again, German international. He scored. I think we saw him score some goals at the Euros. So he got injured very early into the season. But even despite that, it does seem a bit underwhelming as a signing, doesn't he?
Yeah, for the age and what we paid for him, yes, it is very much underwhelming. Okay, he got the goal against Leicester, but the fact he got injured early, like as you mentioned, I think it was in August.
Mm-hmm.
He then went to Germany to have treatment, appeared on a kids' TV show,
and went to Oktoberfest, right, or something.
Yes.
No, I'm making this up, by the way. It's not.
No, it's probably true as well. It put it past him. But then, of course, we kept hearing he's back for this game. Oh, no, he's not. He's back for this game. Oh, no, he's not. He's back for this game. No, he's not.
A lot of misinformation. I think the internet. I think these days the internet is also such a crazy medium that
it is.
A lot of people are making stuff up. Now we have AI to contribute. to that.
This is true.
You can literally have Fulkrug saying to you something in any language in the world you can imagine now, right?
Yeah.
Fulkrug can speak Czech or with perfect British accent, and nobody will know. It's crazy what's happening these days.
But unfortunately, he's been getting some game time now, obviously because of what happened to Antonio.
Yeah, Antonio. We need to remind our listeners had a very serious accident. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's unbelievable that he survived it.
Yes.
After we saw his car. And his season is done, and we don't know if he returns to football, because I think they need to sort of reassess the extent of his injuries. I think he had an operation, right? And also, one thing that is a contributing factor is his age. I think, is he like 34 or something?
34. So so it'd be 35. They reckon it'd be a year out. And then, of course, West Ham's got the option to extend his contract for another year, because apparently we're paying his wages still. But the problem is he's then still got to kind of get back into training. So by that stage, he'd be 36.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, does it? No.
So I doubt very much he would return.
It's a sad ending, really, to his fantastic West Ham career, where he became like one of the top goal scorers for you of all time, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I think the main thing is touch wood, he's alive. Yeah. The recovery is going pretty well, so that's good. The operation went very well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's very, very lucky to still be here.
Lucky boy. Mm. Okay, I don't know if you still have time, but I also want to ask you about Vladimír Coufal, because obviously he stopped playing because Van Bissaka is so good. I think everyone can see, even Vlad would admit it himself, that Van Bissaka is just another level.
Yeah.
But obviously Vladimír Coufal is not getting any game time, so do you think that's it for him, or is there any chance he could extend for 1 year or something?
I think there's a chance for him to still extend for 1 year, because we do need cover. I don't know if his head was turned, because he was doing, very well. But then we start seeing some mistakes. I think he got injured at one point. And sometimes injuries, you don't always fully recover, or you don't come back the same player. So I think this is the reason why we looked at getting in. We looked at quite a few choices, but we managed to get, and even that took a while, Wan-Bissaka over the line. And
from United, right? He was playing for Manchester United.
Yeah.
Well, so why are they letting a player like this go? They're still losing in the 73rd minute against Newcastle at home. And it's a mad league.
I think they were looking for a replacement. For some reason, he wasn't favoured by Ten Hag. And, of course, they went for Mazraoui, which we looked at. And he turned us down and signed for Man United.
Can I tell you one more thing before we end this podcast?
Of course you can.
85th minute, Ipswich down, 2, Chelsea 0.
Chelsea. Every team has their blip, and it seems now this will be second loss for Chelsea now, back to back.
Okay, and I'm done with fantasy football, because I made Cole Palmer my captain, so I'm done with this. I'm not playing this game anymore.
Wow, Ipswich! But I think it was Ipswich's time to win. But it's Chelsea's opportunity to cement themselves back in second place. And they were at one point contenders of probably toppling Liverpool at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But
now if this happens, they're in the fourth place, with Arsenal and Liverpool having one game in hand. So Nottingham Forest in the second place.
Forest doing very well. But Ipswich, wow.
Unbelievable. Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you very much for talking to me about West Ham.
You're welcome.
Wonderful stuff. And once again, your channel is called Early Doors Football TV.
That's correct.
Thanks a lot and take care. And all the best to your team, West Ham United.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite and your time as well. Thank you.
No worries. Take care, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I'm going to do my job. I'm an English teacher and it's grammar time. We don't always talk about grammar here, do we, on this podcast? Usually it's vocabulary, and that's because it is my firm belief as an English teacher that vocabulary is far more important than grammar for communication, yes? I think in a lot of countries in the world, and I have lived and worked as a teacher in a lot of countries now, I think grammar is overrated. It's given too much importance. That's why I don't talk about it much. But occasionally, I have to say that it's useful, especially if you study grammar in context. Here is the context. I asked Tony the following question. It was a question about the player Lucas Paqueta. I asked, is the betting scandal the reason he's playing this poorly this season? And here is what Tony responded with. I think it could be playing on his mind, this betting scandal. If something is playing on your mind, it means it's sort of affecting you. It's affecting your confidence. It's affecting your mindset. It's affecting your performance, right? But I'm looking here at the phrase, it could be, right? Could is a verb. It's a modal verb. A modal verb is a type of verb which we use in English for different things, okay? But here we use this specific modal verb, could, for speculating, yeah? We have a certain number of modal verbs which are used for speculating, especially when we are not sure about something, yeah? And it shows the level of certainty that we have about something. How sure are we about something? How likely is something based on our opinion? So if something is a fact, we just say, I don't know, Paqueta is a West Ham player. Yeah. But if we don't know which team Paqueta plays for, maybe you are not a West Ham fan and you are a fan from another country and you have never really heard about Paqueta, but you think that it's possible that he plays for West Ham, then you could say something like, he could be a West Ham player, right? So this is about your certainty about something. And like I said, we have several modal verbs which we can use in English to talk about this or to speculate about something. These modal verbs are must, could, might, may, and can't. And look at it as a scale. As a scale of certainty. If you are pretty sure about something, then you would use must. So, for example, Tony, he could have said, it must be playing on his mind, this betting scandal. But because he wasn't so sure, instead he went for could. Could means you're much less sure about something. Yeah, must could be like 99% certainty. Could is maybe, I don't know, 30% certainty. Or 40% certainty, then we have might, which is very similar. Some people say it's slightly less sure than could, and may is similar to could. So you could say it could be playing on his mind, it might be playing on his mind, it may be playing on his mind, and it would mean pretty much the same thing. But if you're sure something isn't true, then you would use this final modal verb can't, and then you would say something, it can't be playing on his mind. For example, you could say that Paqueta is a professional footballer. He has played football all his life. He can't have just forgotten how to play football, even under these circumstances, right? It can't be playing on his mind, if you believe so, right? So sometimes I wonder how many listeners of this podcast there truly are. I do have some stats. I do have number of downloads, but I don't know like how reliable these numbers are and how much I can really trust these numbers. So sometimes I wonder how many listeners of the Food Grease podcast there are, and I could say something. There must be at least 100 listeners of the Food Grease podcast if we also add the YouTube channel. There must be over 100. I could say there could be around 150 listeners of the Food Grease podcast. There might be 200 listeners of the Food Grease podcast. They may be 127 listeners of the Food Grease podcast. That is a very specific number. And you could also say there can't be over 1,000, right? There can't be over 1,000. I'm sure there are not 1,000 listeners or more. I'm pretty sure about that. So I say there can't be. But I'm not 100% sure, right? Because if it's not a fact. It's just my belief. It's my speculation. So these modal verbs are pretty useful when to talk about something you're not sure about. And it shows how sure you actually are. Okay. Two more things I want to mention. We talked about Jared Bowen on this episode of the Food Grease podcast. And by the time we recorded this episode, we didn't know that Jared Bowen had actually sustained a fractured foot injury in the Sunday's Premier League fixture against Liverpool. Unfortunately, the club released the statement after the recording, and also unfortunately this really happened because Jared Bowen is the captain. He's really the main guy at West Ham. So this is a disaster. Losing Antonio, losing Jared Bowen, it really leaves West Ham and Julen Lopetegui with only few options up front. So now he can play Füllkrug, who is the only striker as far as I know. But he's not match fit. He's out of form. I think West Ham have no choice but to shell out money for an emergency signing. They need some kind of emergency striker. Oh, I forgot. They also have, what's his name? Danny Ings, of course. It took me some time, but I've remembered in the end. They also have Danny Ings, so maybe it's his time to shine. Okay, guys. And one more thing. I've got something for you. If you want, you can become a member of my group for high-level English learners as long as you are at least B2 level, which is upper intermediate. Upper intermediate, advanced, or proficient. So if you're at these levels, then you could check out my website, teachesdenek.com, and fill out the form there that you find in the Achievers Chamber section. Achievers Chamber is the group that I'm offering to you, because from this month on, every Sunday at 7 p.m. Central European time, I will be hosting an event in which you can talk to me about football. It's a private group. It's nothing. It's not YouTube. It's not online. It's not live. It's just me and a few members. And I can give you a one-month trial. You can get the January for free just to test it out, try it out. All I need you to do is to fill out that form you will find there, and add the code FOODGLISH in there, because this offer is for the listeners of the FOODGLISH podcast, okay? If you like the group, if you enjoy talking to me about football, then of course you can then pay for the membership in February and the following months, but that's up to you. I'm giving you the option to try this service out. I think it's a pretty good deal. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the FOODGLISH podcast, and Happy New Year to you. Take care, everyone, and see you next time. Bye-bye.